Thanks for joining us at Faith Bible Chapel. We hope the message you're about to hear encourages your day and brings you closer to Jesus. If you'd like to join us for service, find a small group, or simply find out more about the church, stop by our website at www.faith.church.
We are continuing with our study in the book of Hebrews, which I've just been so excited about. It's been really rich in my own personal journey and personal walk, and I pray it's been the same for you as well. But we're going to be looking today at Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to be preaching this message quite different than how I do most all of my messages, because I believe that God has given me a real clear word for us as a body today and for me personally. And so as you'll notice, we don't have any fill-in-the-blank notes. You just have blank notes. I told someone before, there's no points for this message. And they said, so you're saying the message is pointless? And I was like, no, that's not what I'm meaning. But we are going to continue and lean into this. And so the book of Hebrews has been dwelling on the superiority of our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the beauty and the power of Jesus, and we've been elevating Jesus in our life. We're looking at how Jesus is better than anything else that we could ever go to or we could have in our lives. He is superior, and if we were to put Him in that rightful place, then the rest of our lives will have a sense of purpose and meaning. And so we're going to continue with that today, but also I just want to share with you a little bit of my heart. As you noticed probably over the last year, we've been looking and teaching from books more differently than just topics. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I believe that's what God's asked me to do as a pastor and a teacher. But I just want you to hear today, as a pastor, as a teacher, I feel a very deep responsibility to serve and to equip you through the Word of God. Not to teach my leanings, and I'm a missionary at heart. That's really what I love, reaching people. If I just wanted to teach my passion all the time, I'd just talk to you about missions all the time, and you'd be like, Jason, come on, move on. But my job as a teacher is to preach the word, not to preach ideas. Not to get my script of what to preach from the latest newsreel, but I'm determined to truly preach the Word of God with integrity and with purpose, and to equip us as a church. And that's really truly my desire, because I know this. I know that the Word of God is infallible. The Word is perfect. The Word is a gift given to us by God to sustain us, to heal us, to guide us. And it's my desire that through years of teaching the Bible, that I would present to us as a church what's called the whole counsel of God. Because you can choose topics and preach and preach things, but you're not communicating them in the manner in which the Bible was written, which things were written in a book to be read in that context, so everything builds upon something else, so you understand the beauty and the power of Scriptures. And so I don't want to give you clever catchphrases, which maybe once in a while we might get one. That's not my purpose. My purpose truly is to preach the Word and then to ask God to show up in power and to heal us and to meet us and to do great things in our midst. Are you guys okay with that? All right, that's what we're going to do. So this series in the book of Hebrews is to help us become familiar. And the book of Hebrews is a bit difficult to understand if you don't know the full context. And so we've been walking through that over the last several weeks, and it's been amazing. It's been a lot of fun. But the book of Hebrews is as we lean into it, can be hard. And initially, when you come to Scripture, it's like, what does that mean? And what does that have to do with this person? Who's this Melchizedek guy? And you kind of have to wrestle with some of this stuff in here. But once you lean into the Scriptures, they begin to speak to you. They begin to give life to you. They begin to transform you and change you. And I was given some advice when I was 15 years old by my oldest brother. He's 7 years older than me. His name's Brian. And he called me from Bible college, and I was at home, and we were just chit-chatting on the phone. And when we got off the phone, this is what he said. He said, Jason, read the Bible every day, and if you don't understand it, Don't worry. Keep reading it because God will use it to change your life. And I believe that. And so today I'm a product of that. And so that's why when we lean into scriptures, even though it's difficult, we lean into it because this word is superior than our own kind of preferences of what we'd like to hear. We're going to get into this. And so today we're going to continue with allowing the word to give us life and to change us by the grace of God. So we had in the book of Hebrews, with the first six chapters, which tell us who Jesus is. Chapter 7 to 8 tells us what Jesus has done for you and what he's continuing to do in your life. Then we come to this last section that I'm going to be focused on this week and next week. And I'm really, really excited about this because this last section is it's about the effects of, if you know Jesus, which we read about in the first six chapters, if we know what he's done for us, and we fully embrace that, then here's the truth of it. There should be a consequence for that in our lives. There should be a difference in our lives because of us knowing and us seeing and us embracing what Jesus has done for us. There should be a difference in our lives as we lean into Jesus. There's a result of knowing and walking with Jesus. There's fruit that comes from our lives. And remember, this book was written to, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, and there was this urgency from the writer, the urgency to move on, to keep pressing forward with greater fullness and greater grace and greater goodness of God in their lives. And that's what it still speaks to us today. So I'm going to be sharing with you from Hebrews chapter 11, which is probably the most famous book, famous chapter of this book. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to pull them out. And because I'd like for you to revisit this later, but also we're going to be reading all of Hebrews chapter 11. And so if you have your Bibles, pull them out, get your phone, turn them on, because I'd like for you to follow along. Again, today is a little different, but I believe it's what God has for us. And there's really one singular kind of purpose and focus of today. And so we're going to lean into this. This chapter is called the Hall of Faith, what many people have called it. They list all these amazing men and women who by faith really leaned into God. And that's my heart for you today, is by faith all of us would take a step forward, regardless of where you're at in your journey, but by faith. Now listen, I didn't come today to rattle anyone's cage. That's not what I was planning, but today's message is going to be very challenging. It's going to challenge probably some status quo. It's going to challenge some things in the American church that I believe we've gotten off a little bit in the realm of faith. And so, Hebrews chapter 11. You guys ready? Take a deep breath. We're going to be reading just for a while, but I think it's kind of cool to read a whole chapter in church. Listen, if you can't read a whole chapter publicly in church, where can you read it, right? Okay? So, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to walk through this. Now, faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, everybody say, by faith. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, everybody say, by faith, Abel still speaks. Very interesting. So what Abel did is still speaking, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Great story there. Don't have time to get into it. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, everybody say, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, I say by faith. Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive, his inheritance. Listen to this. He obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking, speaking of Abraham still, he was looking forward to the city with foundations. What's he looking for? Whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. Speaking of God, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith. Listen, still living by faith when they died. We continue to read. They did not, well, that's interesting. They lived by faith, but they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing. So they weren't longing for an earthly country or earthly kingdom. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Abraham, when God tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring is going to be reckoned. It's through Isaac that your promise is going to come. And Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of a staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses, everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. So again, this is something about the future. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Everybody say, by faith. The walls of Jericho fell after the army marched around them 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk to you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. Through faith they conquered. They administered justice and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. That's a great victory in faith. And we continue. There were others, though, so the other side of the coin, who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes and in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Now listen, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had their plan sometimes planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Here is this incredible passage that speaks of things that kind of makes you wonder a little bit. But what I really want to focus on is this passage out of verse 8. Verse 8, this is what it says of Abraham, and then I'm going to get into this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place, would later receive as his inheritance. Listen, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. I believe this little phrase right here, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I believe that is the definition of faith. I know we have a definition in the beginning of this chapter, but this encapsulates and explains what that definition is from verse 1, because faith, please hear me today, faith is more than a spoken word. It's about action. It's about belief. Listen, you can't tell someone's faith from their words. You can tell someone's faith by their actions, what they do. And this whole chapter that we just read is about people who demonstrated the reality of their faith. And here we read about Abraham, who obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Because of the journey for my wife and I that we have been on, This verse for us is, there's a real reality that I've walked this road. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Abraham in any fashion whatsoever, but the reality of faith in our lives has been, we've walked roads before that we knew we had to go, but we didn't know. We knew it's time for us to get going, but we got going without knowing the outcome. And obedience of faith is about going. It's not about knowing. It's kind of like this. If God tells you and says, listen, you need to go dig a hole in a field, most of us will wait till God brings us the shovel. But faith says, okay, I'm going to walk to the field without the shovel, and I'm going to trust that somewhere along the way, I'm going to get a shovel. It's very simple, but that's what it is. But I will say this, this type of faith of obeying and going, even though you don't know where you're going, today it isn't called faith. This type of actions with God or belief with God, it'd be considered someone's unorganized. Well, you can't go to that field without a shovel. You need to go get a shovel first. Yeah, but God told me to go to the field. Yes, but God's a God of order. Unless he tells you to go without a shovel. Unless he tells you to go to a land that you don't know of and you don't know where you're going. That's not a very good strategic plan. But it's what God honors in this chapter 11. He honors people who listen for God's voice, hear it, and then do it without knowing where it's going to take them. This type of faith would be considered irresponsible. It'd be considered foolish. But you know what God calls it? Faith. And it's impossible to please God unless you go and don't know, unless you obey and go, even when you don't know where you are going. And so today, my heart in this is that all of us here today would have a firm, unmistakable, clear personal understanding of what God is absolutely saying through this passage. And in this chapter, I want to challenge us a little bit further in this. I'm going to lean a little bit further into this. In this chapter, some conquered, overcame kingdoms by faith, while others were conquered while believing and remaining in faith. How does that work? Can both be true? Some escaped the sword by faith, while others died by the sword by faith. That's why I called this message today the paradox of faith. Some were raised from the dead by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some entered death by faith. And I believe that the conclusion of this is this. I believe that it requires just as much faith to be martyred as it does to receive a miracle. I believe it requires just as much faith to walk through an illness while believing in your God and cross from this life into death as it does to receive your healing from that illness. And guess what? They're both listed in Hebrews 11. And guess what? God honors them for their faith. So many in our church, especially I believe in the American church or the Western church, confuse faith and say that faith is the stuff that's demonstrated. Faith is the miracle. Faith is you believe it and it happens. Faith is the healing. Yes, no, you're right. It is. It is that. But we would think, no, that's what faith is. It's experienced and it's seen. Except the issue is none of these people who were honored and lived by faith saw what they were believing for. It'd be a serious misunderstanding to think that the faith demonstrated in the healing of an illness is a different faith than what's demonstrated in an individual that stays faithful to God, leans into God, and keeps walking and dies by that same illness. I think over the years, the church has been plagued really just by ignorant theology. That we think, well, you didn't receive your healing because you didn't believe enough. Well, did they not believe enough? We read about how God was faithful, but since they didn't see it or hear it or touch it, which one had more faith, the one who died by the sword or the one who was delivered by the sword? It's called the paradox of faith. And so many people in the church have picked up this guilt. Well, if only I would have believed more, my family member would still be here. But it's my fault because I didn't have enough faith. Or you have people who walk around in spiritual arrogance and think, by golly, I got faith because I received my healing. It's too bad. So people have this, like you're a second-rate believer, like you're a second-rate Christian. Because, well, I believed and I prayed and I trusted it didn't happen, then God, it's me. Well, they were believing for deliverance, but yet still endured death. And God honored them in the hall of faith in the Bible, wrote all about them. And so many Christians, when we're faced with the reality of the human condition, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you're getting older. I don't know if you know that. And what I've found, I'm 41 years old. This is what I've found. Maybe some of you can speak, some of you can really speak into this. Anyway, I'm joking. Is that as I get older, this is not, the old, what does it say? The old gray hair just ain't what she used to be, right? Something's happening. What's happening? It's called the human condition. You are temporary. You are fragile. You are vulnerable. And so what happens is people in our journey of faith, and listen, I've been around a little bit, not super long, but around a little bit. What happens is in our journey, we think if I'm sick, I can't say I'm sick. Because if I say I'm sick, it's a lack of faith. Then so if I say I'm sick, then it kind of short circuits God's possible healing for me. Or if I have an illness that could lead to death, I can't even possibly consider death because that then it's not right because I'm not living by faith. You know what that's called? It's called baloney. That's called baloney. It's not considering the whole counsel of Scripture. So we live in this paradox where both are true. That by faith, God heals today. But by faith, God allows us to cross from this life into eternity and receive our promise in a world that we can't see of yet. Both are honored in this chapter 11. Both are honored. Both are stated. It still requires steadfast, resilient Hebrews 11 faith. That in your last breath, you're declaring the goodness of my God. Because I'm soon about to be healed. As soon as I take my last breath, I will be healed instantly. There will be no more tears. But also, it's while you pray and you believe, God comes forth. There's a miracle that happens. You say, praise God. The same faith. Even if God. And so God is leading us, and hopefully leading you, to grow up a little bit in our beliefs. This whole book out of Hebrews is about coming to maturity, moving on from the things of milk and start getting into the meat. Hebrews 11 is about believing and trusting God regardless of the outcome of circumstances. And even if things go south, God, I still trust you. Even though you slay me, God, I trust you. Even if things don't work out, I trust you. Because what matters in the journey is your faith, not the outcome or the circumstances. These people in Hebrews 11 did not receive or see what they were believing for before they died. Does that mean they didn't have faith? No. You know what that means? You know what that tells me? Our faith today in the provision of God is eternal. It's not the substance of my faith. It's my faith itself. That if I believe God for healing, if I believe God and I remain believing Him for healing, and then God doesn't heal me, and I step from this life into the next, and I by faith I still believe in the goodness and the sovereignty of God, that Lord, I will trust you through this valley, even if it kills me, I trust you. You know what happens? You are rewarded for that faith. The reward of your faith. This might be a bomb for some of you. The reward of your faith does not need to be on this earth. Yeah, but Jason, I want it to be. Yeah. I'm sure those who were sawed in two wanted it to be as well. But by faith, they endured the teeth of the saw on their torso. And bled out by faith. For me, the journey I'm on right now in my faith, I'm believing God for breakthrough. I'm believing God for breakthrough for our church. I'm believing God for breakthrough in my life. I'm believing for breakthrough. But if breakthrough doesn't come, I'm going to keep believing. If breakthrough doesn't happen, I'm going to keep believing. Why? Because I'm choosing to have faith. And I believe this tension that we live in is the reason why we have this chapter in the Bible. But something that it's important you understand, this chapter in the Bible is a setup for chapter 12. And to be honest, sometimes, just briefly, the chapters and the numbers in the Bible aren't really that helpful sometimes, because I don't know if you're aware of this, a French bishop divided the Bible into chapters, and then an Irish bishop took those chapters and put them in verses so that it's just easier. So I can say, hey, turn to Hebrews 11, 8, so you can do it. It's done. But what happens is sometimes chapters are placed in a spot that isn't the finished thought. It's just, you think, oh, I've just read my chapter for the day. Praise God. Close it. The problem is you really needed to get the next three verses to truly understand what you just read. Because Hebrews 12 is connected to Hebrews 11. So after writing these amazing stories about this man, these men and women who died and by faith received, and God was with them, and some conquered by faith, and some stepped into eternity and died by faith, what he says is this: the reason I told you all of that, the reason why I was telling you about these demonstrations of faith is so that now we come to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since I told you this, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of those witnesses. Now, I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly open to God changing my perspective and how I see scriptures. And I've been in this Bible a long time. And I have a new understanding as I study this today. This word witnesses, in the past I would say these witnesses are people who they're like in a grandstand cheering you on. Come on, run your race, run your race, run your race. But that's not what it actually means. This word witnesses is the same Greek word as martyr. And so since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of martyrs, of witnesses, of people who have gone before us, that these people are not witnessing what we're doing. They are bearing witness to us and showing us the model that if they can do it, you can do it too. If they can run the race, and all of our journeys are different, if some can die by faith and some can conquer by faith, and some can be healed by faith and some succumb to an illness or whatever it is, that if they can do it and remain and run the course and not give up and not turn aside, then my friends, you can do it too. There are witnesses. Their stories of being delivered by faith and being martyred by faith are for us to note, to take note, to watch, to listen, so that just as God was faithful to them, He'll be faithful to you. Just as God rewarded their faith, some on this earth, some after, but both, He will do the same for you. Just as God brought forth the miracle, He can bring forth miracles today. Listen, I believe with every ounce of my body that God still heals today. I believe with every ounce of my faith and my belief that God can, He can provide in the name of Jesus, something can happen. I believe with every ounce of, listen, if you're looking for someone who believes in the supernatural, you don't have to look any further. I believe in it with all of my heart. But I also believe that there is an eternity. We are living for eternity. And I may not receive the substance of my faith here, but I may receive it there. But I'm still going to keep believing for it here. Because it keeps going. It keeps my faith in healing keeps going even after I die. Because guess what? I will then be made whole. But God can meet us right where we are today. And I've had the privilege of serving in different multiple roles over the last 20 years as a pastor. And I believe what the church in the U.S. needs is a good dose of Hebrews chapter 11. It's called maturity. People have fallen away for so many things. People walk away from God because of pain, because of loss, because they want to sin. They just go their own way. They want to go their own way because God didn't heal. God didn't come through. God didn't do it their way. And so what happens is people, they justify their decisions for walking away from God because God didn't do it their way. See, they stop running the race that God had set out for them because the racetrack wasn't the one they picked out. And they stop. Happens all the time. People get hurt. They get hurt by God. There are people who have left the community that God has placed them in the church. They've been in it for 20 years, and they left because they didn't like something. Didn't like a change, or they forget it. I'm out of here. And their life and their spiritual life begins to suffer. People have walked away from God because God didn't do it their way. But look at these people who stayed the course. Look at them. It says this, continues to read on. Let us throw off everything. Since they can do it, you can do it. So let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race God has marked out for us. This, you have a race it's individual, it's also corporate. You have a race that's only been marked out by God for you to run. And we say, well, but what about them, God? And they received this, and you showed up in their life, and yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. God's like, but this is your race. I've laid this race out for you. Don't look there. Don't look there. The reality is you're running your race. So anyway, for our church, God has something marked out for us. It's individual. But it's for you to run. So run the race this marks out for you. Well, okay, how do I do that when I'm struggling? When I maybe I'm wanting to stop running the race? Well, he goes on. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now listen what Jesus did. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considered him who endured such opposition. Consider him. Look to Jesus. Think about him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, God, Father, if there's any way this cup of suffering that he knew he was going to have, if there's any way that it could be passed from him, let it be. But your will, not mine, be done. It's called faith. Jesus trusted, even if this is what you have for me, I'm going to walk the road. And he did it. Even if. I don't know what you're facing, but I know I need a little Hebrews 11 in my life. That somehow the value of my faith is not determined on if I get the outcome I'm believing for or not. The value of my faith will be determined one day in eternity. When I stand before God, you won't be there. My wife won't be there. But God will be there. And it's for that I'm going to hold out, and I'm going to live my life for him. And regardless of what happened here on this earth, regardless if I got the breakthrough I wanted, regardless if God did things in our church that I'm believing him for, I'm going to stay faithful. And one day I'll stand before him. He'll say, hey, you never gave up. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's where your faith matters. It's very important that these people demonstrated faith. This chapter 11 is about people who did it. They ran the race. So for us here on this earth, our faith, you cannot excuse yourself from running this race because things are too hard. That's why you have the variety of circumstances, variety of people, variety of pain, variety of victories. All of our journeys are different. And what you go through is unique. But the point is this, you can run your race. You can finish strong. You can receive the victory, or you can step from this life into the next and receive the embrace of God who says, well done and faithful, good servant. You can do that. You can run it. Why? Because there are witnesses. They can do it. The church needs to get a backbone and say, I'm going to believe God. But if things don't go my way, I'm not going to pout and scream like a little baby and run off the track. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep going because there's something greater at stake. It's called eternity. It's forever. That one day we don't live for this world. Please hear me. We don't live for this world. We don't live for a political system. We don't live for a president. We don't go up and down depending on the president of the United States. We live for God Almighty, and we're going to serve Him. And we're going to stay the course. Run the race. Don't give up. Stay in the battle. Stay in the run. Stay in there. Even though you're limping, even though you're crawling, even though you're dying, keep running. You will receive your reward. You will receive it. Many of us have given up the race. We stopped believing God because we were distracted by the circumstances. We've forgotten what it means to be a New Testament follower of Jesus Christ. And we've confused and mixed this American church model in our faith. It's not about America. It's not about live long and have all the things you want. It's not about prospering. It's about prospering and obeying God. That we go and we went. Why? Because God said so, and we didn't even know where we were going. That is called faith. We don't need to be tossed about anymore because things aren't going our way. You think they were going their way? But their faith held strong and they stayed the course. I think for me, what I desire to be said of me is that, boy, man, Jason, everything he believed for, he got. Well, that's what American church says. Boy, aren't they men of faith? Why are you saying that? Because there's miracles, okay? But what really matters is, did you keep believing? That what is said of me is that others will look back on my journey and maybe on your journey. And I want the said about me that Jason went and he obeyed even though he didn't know where he was going. Why would you do that? That's foolish. You know why I did it? Because God said. And I don't care what any man on this earth thinks about me going, about me determined to walk the road, about me not totally knowing how things are going to work out. Listen, I don't care. I don't give a rip, and neither should you. One day you will stand before God, and that's all that matters, that you went and obeyed even though you didn't know. You obeyed this word. You obeyed this word even though it was tough, even though you didn't understand it, and even though you just obeyed it. God, I'm going to obey it. God, give me the grace to obey it. You didn't give up. You didn't hit eject. You kept running your race because faith is eternal. Faith lasts forever. Keep believing. Don't give up. That's what the writer's saying. Run the race that's been mapped out for you. Don't cut it short. Run the race. Because if they can do it, you can do it. Please receive that today. And your affliction and your pain and your financial struggle, please receive that today. God's not against you. God isn't mad at you. No, it's an opportunity to double down on faith. I'm going to believe you, God, that you're going to meet my needs. But even if, everybody say even if. Say it again, even if. Even if he doesn't do it, you will remain faithful in Jesus' name. You will remain faithful. This is the beauty and the power of this incredible chapter. May your legacy not be, listen, the greatest legacy you can leave for your family, listen, it's not a house. It's not a trust fund. It's not a nice car collection. It's not a vacation home. The greatest thing you can leave a legacy of is a legacy of faith. That what can be said about you is that you went and you obeyed, even though you didn't know where it was going. You took some risk for God. You stepped out. You know what? I want people to say of me in my journey of faith, man, Jason fell on his face a lot because he was risking, but he didn't give up. May we embrace the reality of risking something for God, believing, going all in as a church, as a people, as families. May you not stop the journey because you want to sin. No, stay the course. Don't stop the journey because things didn't go your way. Stay the course. Run the race. Don't give up. Because our God is faithful and He will reward you.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to watch a service live online, you can join us every Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at live.faith.church. For everything else, check our website at www.faith.church.